Previously on Family.
I'm so sorry, Nadia, but I cannot go through with this anymore.
I know Ma will feel better just by seeing our guest today.
Now there's the lady I fell in love with.
It's not so serious, Sophia. Your mom is suffering from strep throat.
How could you both be so downright rude and racist towards Kate? Stop making it sound like you two do everything for our parents.
I don't want to be a burden on them anymore. I can't take it.
جعل خليفة في الدنا آدم من ضلعه أهدى له حواء.
Although life is ours to live, it is never ultimately ours to dictate. Adam and Hawa were deeply wounded by their children's recent outburst, but nothing had changed in any of their living arrangements. That is, nothing except...
Surfs? You wanted to tell me something?
Yeah.
Sophia pauses to take a deep breath. She fixes her gaze on Ardiel and looks him directly in the eye. Her face breaks into a bright smile as she says,
I'm ready, Ardiel. I'm ready to accept Nadira as my co-wife.
What?
Ardiel gapes at Sophia, completely surprised by her unexpected announcement. She uses his silence as a cue to continue.
When you really love someone, you love their laughter, you love their happiness. I want you to be truly happy, Ardiel.
I am happy, Sophia.
No, Ardiel. I know you could be happier. I've thought about this. Trust me, it wasn't easy. But now I've made up my mind. I'm giving you permission to marry Nadira as your second wife.
Look, Sufs, I've lived without Nadira. But I can't live without you. And I'm not prepared to lose you.
You won't lose me, Ardiel. I'm not asking for a divorce. Unless you want me to.
No, but why now, Sufs?
I have my reasons, Ardiel. I want you to be happy and safe from temptation. And besides, if polygamy was such a terrible idea, then Allah would have made it completely haram for us, right?
Farida rolls her eyes as she listens to Junaid's rants.
Can you believe it, Farida? After all this time and he still can't trust me.
Jun, he has his ways, so stop beating yourself about him.
No, Fari, listen. Pa is stubborn. Nothing we ever do for him, nothing I ever do is good enough for him. He still treats me like a lighty who doesn't know anything. I'm a grandfather. My business is doing far better than he's ever did, and still Pa insists that I'm wet behind the ears. I don't understand what's wrong with him.
I told you to stop wasting your time trying. Anyway, what happened?
I told Pa to just let me register him for online banking. But no, he doesn't even trust me with his account details because he thinks I'll take his money. I just don't understand.
What? He said that?
No, Farida. He didn't have to, but he keeps giving me these lame excuses about how the internet is not safe and he doesn't trust the internet, blah, 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 blah. You know how he carries on. But I know it's me he doesn't trust. After all this time, and yet I've always been the responsible one. I can't understand. I don't understand what's wrong with Pa.
So where's he now?
He's gone to the bank. When he rejected my internet banking suggestion, I even offered to take him to the bank. But no, he can't have Junaid anywhere near the money, so he made his own arrangements, and now he's gone.
So, what about your mother? I'm not babysitting her today. I am very busy.
I'll go check up on her later. She must be better if Pa finally left her alone. You know what, Farida? It's funny how he can trust me with Ma, but not with his precious Peya.
Yeah, well, I told you a long time ago that your whole family uses you. But you don't want to listen to me. And you didn't want to listen to me, did you? Anyone has a problem? Call Junaid. Got any work to do? Call Junaid. And now, you must give, 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 and what do you get in return? Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
Junaid regrets confiding in Farida as he listens to her harp on about his ungrateful family. All he needed was some comfort, but a sharp rebuke only leaves him feeling worse. It's not her words that hurts him, but the silent acknowledgement of the truth in her words that stabs him. Adil is gobsmacked as he still tries to process what Safiya is saying. He thinks for a while and then erupts into bouts of sarcastic laughter.
So, good one. Very good one. Bravo. You can get an Oscar for this one, my love. But I'm not falling for it. It's a trap. Your brothers put you up to this, didn't they? You're all just testing me and my loyalty, right?
Adil takes his phone out of his pocket and slides it across the table to Safiya.
See, Safs, I already told her a while ago that it's not going to work. See? There, you have it. You can tell your gangster brothers that I didn't fall for it.
Adil looks at Safiya before adding with utmost sincerity.
You know, I also thought about it, Safs, long before this. I thought about it. I even considered it. But I want you to know that I'll never do that to you now.
But I'm being serious, Adil. This isn't a trap.
Well, whatever it is, I'm not doing it, Safs. Nadira is my past, and she'll stay there.
Really, Adil? If you really didn't care anymore, and she really is a part of your past, how come you still have her saved as a contact?
I was just going to delete...
Please, Adil, just think about what I'm saying. You both don't need to suffer anymore. At least, not because of me. You have my blessings. So, will you really just let her go again?
Hawa opens her eyes groggily. She tries to lift her head, but immediately drops it back onto her pillow. She knows she needs to go to the bathroom, but her head is spinning and the room seems rather unfamiliar. She clears her throat and whispers hoarsely.
Adam? Adam? Where are you? Adam? I can't get up. Help me. Help me, please.
Hawa reaches out to Adam's side of the bed, hoping to shake him awake.
Adam, why you leave me? Who will help me now?
Hawa realizes that Adam's not in bed, and the silence scares her. She desperately needs to go to the bathroom, but can't seem to think, let alone stand on her own.
Who will help me now? Adam, come, please. Come, please. I need bathroom.
Panic overtakes Hawa as she realizes that Adam won't be there to help her soon enough. She cannot think of anyone who could possibly help her to the bathroom as she doesn't want to inconvenience anyone else. She closes her eyes, breathing slowly, and tries to calm herself. She opens her eyes again and looks at her surroundings.
Who do I call? Adam?
The urge to relieve herself intensifies, and the fear of messing the bed gives Hawa the courage to painfully make her way out of bed and to the bathroom door. Her steps are labored, and she holds onto the walls for support as best as she can. She thinks of calling someone for help, but...
No, Adam. Don't know where is Adam.
By the time Hawa reaches the bathroom door, she's completely out of breath, and she stares at the basin with a confused look.
Why am I here?
Hawa walks to the basin and looks at her reflection in the mirror above the basin. She places a shaky hand to her cheek and gasps.
So many wrinkles! When did I get so many wrinkles? Adam!
Hawa continues looking at her reflection in horror when a potent smell draws her attention and she looks down to find that the bottom of her gown is discolored and drenched.
Ya Khuda! How did this happen?
Her exhausted limbs plead with her to call someone for help, but sheer embarrassment stops her from doing so.
Toba, Toba! How can Adam see me like this? So napak! So dirty.
Hawa carefully goes into the shower and rinses off. She steps out and utilizes Adam's gown that's hanging behind the door. As she does so, she's overcome by dizziness and loses her balance.
Adam, help me!
She tries grabbing the railing to steady herself, but her outstretched fingers curl around thin air as the dizziness quickly turns into blackness and she hits the ground with a sickening thud. Junaid shrugs at Farida and begins to make his way out.
Junaid, did you say something?
No.
Yeah, what can you say? You know, I'm always right, Junes, but don't worry. Za and I are still always here for you.
I guess so.
Excuse me, what do you mean you guess so? Who's the only person who stood by you and tried to stand up for you when the rest of the family was bullying you into submission? Me, Farida. So how can you say...
Shh.
Oh, don't tell me to keep...
But wait, did you hear that? It sounded like...
Anxiety suddenly clouds Junaid's face as he realizes with a jolt.
Ma! Shucks! I hope mine's okay.
Farida lets out an agitated sigh, throwing her hands up into the air.
Ma. I'm so sick of this. I think I just need to run away again.
Farida's comments fall onto deaf ears as Junaid ignores her and hurriedly makes his way to Hawa's bedroom, his stomach twisting into a thousand knots with every step that he takes.
Ma?
Meanwhile, Zahra already enters her granny's bedroom, her voice laced with fear after having heard the loud thud herself. Her heart sinks as she sees Hawa's empty bed and she immediately heads for the bathroom door.
Daddy!
Zahra places a hand on the door handle and is relieved to find it unlocked. She hears Junaid calling out in the distance as he too makes his way to Hawa.
Ah.
Zahra tries pushing the door open, but a weight on the other side prevents her from moving it completely. And so she squeezes through the small gap and gasps in horror.
Daddy! Oh, no, Daddy!
Hawa is lying with her face to the ground and a stream of blood flows onto the bathroom tiles. Zahra kneels down beside her unconscious granny and tries to lift her. However, she's unable to move her at all. Her vision blurs with tears in her eyes. Junaid reaches the bathroom door in a huff and his panic escalates when he hears Zahra's crying. He manages to make his way into the bathroom with a painful scene awaiting. Junaid joins his daughter on the floor and together, they manage to slowly turn Hawa onto her side. Junaid notices a nasty gash on Hawa's forehead and instructs Zahra to pass him a towel. He holds the towel against the wound, trying to stop the bleeding. He tenderly places a hand on his mother's cheek.
Ma, can you hear me?
Daddy, please say something. Daddy, please. Daddy.
Zahra, stop crying. Go tell your mother to call an ambulance. We need to get Ma to the hospital right now. Go.
Zahra immediately does as she's instructed, leaving Junaid alone with Hawa. Silent tears roll down Junaid's face as he wills Hawa to respond.
Ma, I'm so sorry, Ma. I'm so sorry.
Time, a mystery that baffles every mind. Although the clock kept ticking and time kept passing, life seemed to be at a standstill for the family. Adam arrived home to witness Hawa being carried on a stretcher into the ambulance. He refused to leave her side until explicitly instructed to do so by her doctors. He now sat on the hard plastic chair, not uttering a single word. Farida's fingers moved through the beads of her tesbih, and Junaid paced back and forth,
occasionally running his hands through his first length beard. When would they receive some news about Hawa's condition?
Ya Allah.
Mr. Valley?
Yes?
Could you please come with me?
May I see my wife first?
Sure. I will let you see her as soon as we're done. Come this way, please.
Artem reluctantly follows the doctor into a small consulting room, not realizing that Junaid is right behind him. When the doctor gives Junaid a questioning stare, he quickly explains...
Fine, I'm a son.
Very well. Please take a seat.
Artem and Junaid hastily take their seats, impatient to know more about Hawa.
Is my mother okay?
Well, we've managed to stop the bleeding from the wound. However, she's still unconscious. We've conducted a number of tests on her to see what's going on. I'm afraid that Mrs. Valley has been suffering from Alzheimer's for what seems to be a very long time. Were you aware of this?
What?
Well, our deduction is that Mrs. Valley fell due to a loss of balance and coordination, which is associated with the advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease. This happens quite often in cases where elderly patients are living alone without any extra care or support. You see, with Alzheimer's, it's quite impossible to predict when a patient may succumb to the consequences of the disease and which symptoms they'll present. What makes this worse is that when the family is completely unaware of the patient's diagnosis, they fail to take the necessary precautions. When last did you take your mother for a checkup?
Junaid looks down at his hands in shame. Artem wonders how Hawa was suffering from something as serious, as obvious, as Alzheimer's, and yet they all failed to detect that something was terribly wrong with her.
What else did you find?
I'm afraid that there's been some severe brain damage as a result of the fall.
The rest of the doctor's words float in the air, as Artem utters the final words repeatedly.
We're trying our best. But the next 48 hours are critical. If she doesn't respond by then, there's not much else that we can do for her. The next 48 hours are critical. If she doesn't respond by then, there's not much else that we can do for her. Not much else that we can do for her.
Down on the accelerator, his glassy eyes fixed on the road.
Slow down, Nadim.
Nadim's knuckles whiten as he tightens his grip onto the steering wheel.
It's my mother.
I know it's your mother, but if you drive like this, we'll die before even getting to see her.
Do you think it's a joke, Amina? My mother, Belle, hit her head and is now in a coma, and I may lose her in less than 48 hours. And you only worried about your own skin?
Nadim, I didn't mean it that way. You need to calm down. Now is not the time to get angry.
Yeah, easy for you to say. If I just kept Ma with me, if Ma was with us, this would have never happened. Never! There I was, worried about you. And now, when my mother is critical, you're still only worried about yourself.
Excuse me? What did you say?
Nothing, just leave it.
Oh, I heard you, Nadim. Just go ahead. Blame me. I refuse to let you bring your own mother to stay in your own house, isn't it? I'm such a terrible wife, blah, blah, blah. Well, who told you to listen to me, huh? In everything else, you do exactly as you please. So don't pin your own cowardice and indifference to your parents on me.
Nadim stamps onto the brakes as his car jerks violently to a stop. He unlocks the door.
Get out of the car.
Nadim.
I don't want you coming with me.
Nadim, please. You're wasting time.
I've wasted my life with you, Amina. Get out.
Nadim, you can't just leave me here in the middle of nowhere. You're not thinking straight. Please, don't. I'm sorry. I also want to see Ma. I really do.
Well, then keep your mouth shut, woman. Because I'm telling you, I've had enough of you. Do you hear me? I've had enough of you. Enough!
figures move past Adam in a blur. His head hurts, but there's a pain in the depths of his chest that's far more intense than his headache. The bright lights of the waiting room hurt his eyes, and a deep frown is fixed on his forehead. He sees Safiya hugging Zahra and crying. He sees Nadim talking to a nurse. He sees Amina wiping away her tears, and Junaid ignoring Farida. He preserves the silence, not trusting himself to speak until...
Did you win the lottery?
What?
Couldn't you take Ma to the hospital?
Yes, we could, but we didn't want your mother to bleed to death now.
Well, did you see what this clinic charges per night? It's ridiculous. Even holidays aren't this expensive.
Nadim, what's wrong with you? It's for our mother. We'll find a way to gather the funds, man. Don't be ridiculous.
As long as you don't expect me to foot the bill alone.
Keep your money.
Pa, relax. Don't stress. We'll find a way.
No, you won't.
Pa, I was just checking so that we're not sitting with debt that we can't pay afterwards.
Bus. Nadim. Bus. I don't want a cent from any of you.
Adam's bloodshot eyes are wild and is breathing heavy. Safiya quietly goes to her father and places a hand on his back. Adam's fury gaze slits between his sons and their spouses.
Pa, please, calm down.
No!
Nadim and Junaid look away uncomfortably. Unable to meet their father's angry gaze, there's pin drop silence as Adam continues.
I don't need a cent from any of you. I'll use my own money to pay for the care and treatment that your mother needs. Because yes, we live in a time where we have to pay for care. We have to pay for care because children like you don't know how to care about anyone but yourselves.
Hot, angry tears stream down Adam's face and he removes his handkerchief to wipe his face.
It's you who drove your mother to where she is now. It's all of you. You're all busy bickering and competing in what you have to do for us. That you left your mother feeling like a burden. You left her feeling so abandoned that she couldn't ask any of you for a simple thing like helping her to the bathroom. I left her alone with you, Junaid and Farida, for 1 hour. Just 1 hour, and look. And then you tell me, Pa, trust me. How must I trust you? How must I trust you when everything we've taught you as our children is like water off a duck's back to you? You lot made your mother sick. And your behavior is making me sick too. It just makes me sick when I see your mother, when I see the heartache that she has to suffer at your hands. I ask Allah not to make her or me muhtaj on anyone. Because who wants to live when your own flesh and blood have shut their hearts to you? Who?
Adam shakes his head in disappointment, and with a tired hand to his forehead, he finally says,
I make dua that no parent has to live as a burden to the child. No parent. Not even my worst enemy. Because it's true. It's true. One mother can look after 10 children. But 10 children cannot look after one single mother. Children cannot look after one single mother. Single mother.
Adam's words burn with emotion, and every family member feels it. But will their hearts melt before it's too late? Don't miss our final episode of Family. A Radio Islam International production and Ramadan special.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Episode 16 comes to an end today. It is a drama series, Family, on Radio Islam International. And as we see here, Safiya has a change of heart. If you recall in the previous episode, she and Zahra had a chat, and her mindset changed because of the perspective she gained from this entire scenario. Now she confronts Adil and she gives him the go-ahead. Well, Yusuf, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We must say that this is a sensitive topic, and not many people would want to hear about it, but it's a reality in our community, and that's why we are touching on it.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jibulana, it's something, it's a reality, a lot of people face it, and it's one of those things where like we seen in the drama series, sometimes we need to look at it and we need to accept it.
I remember I was sitting with one scholar and he says, you know, my father has passed on, and one day I was speaking to my mother and I asked about this very same question, and he said that if your father was alive today, I would not have considered it at all. But now that your father has moved on, and the difficulties and the challenges I'm facing, I can relate to the people outside, and my mindset has changed today. So this is what Islam is saying. Allah is the maker, the designer, the fashioner of men. And He knows what are the difficulties and the dynamics that play out in society. And so He has created a solution for that also, Malala.
Yes, that is true. And what we learn from this drama is that if we look at Safiya, she only realized the beauty or the benefit of polygamy after she spoke to her niece. Prior to that, she was kind of against it. And that's basically what we're seeing in today's time. There's a lot of people, they're against it. But when they firsthand, when they see the benefit, when they look at others, that, you know what, these people will actually benefit. It's not always about lust. You know, it's not always about lust, but there is a great benefit. If we look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that it is kitabs written on the reasons as to why he married each wife, subhanallah.
Yes, and if you also study his life, he married women that were divorced, he married women that were widowed, and women that were going through challenging times. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the system, keeping in mind the needs of the society. We must always try and keep that angle in mind when we are talking about this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.